Take them, go to the book of Galatians, chapter number 4. Galatians in chapter number 4. Galatians chapter number 4. Thank you for your attentiveness thus far, and appreciate that. Once you found Galatians chapter 4, let's stand for the reading of God's Word. Galatians chapter number 4. Before we read Galatians 4, I want to read from Luke chapter number 2, verse number 10. You'll be in Galatians chapter number 4, and we'll read to verses 4 through 7. We'll read verse 7 altogether. But the Bible tells in Luke chapter 2, and verse number 10, "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy," which is the title of the sermon this morning. And the title of really our whole service, "which shall be to all people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Amen. So the great joy that was pronounced that day was the announcement that the Savior was born for all people. Amen. Isn't that a great thing? And you should be in Galatians chapter number 4. Let's start reading here in Galatians chapter 4, verse number 4. "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father." Verse 7 altogether. "Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." Amen. If you need a copy of God's Word, just raise your hand and we'll get a copy to you. Anybody still need a copy of God's Word? Amen. We see one right here, Brother Eddie. All right, let's have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for your sending your Son for us, Lord, as that little baby in a manger. And just as precious as that is, and how loving and sweet that is, Lord, really it was for a purpose. It was to save us from our sins. Help us to reflect upon that here today and understand the true meaning of Christmas as we gather together. I pray, God, for your blessings on this service. Bless those that are here. Help us remain attentive and to focus on what you have for us. I pray, God, for the if there's anyone here today that does not know you as their Savior, I pray today would be their day of salvation. Work in hearts as only the Holy Spirit can do. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. Please be seated. There's many things that bring joy at Christmas time, and I've jotted a couple of them down. I love thinking about Jesus lying in the manger. I truly do. I think that is a joyful thing. While Mary and Joseph watched over him, that is a wonderful part of the Christmas story that I love. I love to share about the baby in the manger while Mary and Joseph watched over him. And I also love to share the Christmas story, as we did today, to the young folks. And also on Christmas Day, that's what we do as a family. I will read the Christmas story to them as we gather around the Christmas tree and prepare to open presents. And we get the fireplace lit up and try to set the mood, if you will. We drink our favorite beverage, whether it's hot chocolate or coffee or things of that nature. We just enjoy this time of year. We turn on that Christmas music and play our favorite songs as we prepare to open gifts. I think of the joy that comes with Christmas tradition. There's many movies out there that we love to watch this time of year. I love watching The Grinch. I don't know why, but I like the one with Jim Carrey. I think that's just so funny. And I can watch that every single year and never get tired of it. And there's others out there, your favorite movie, you can think of it. Those things just, they bring the season to us. We realize the season is here as you turn those things on. And there's many songs that we sing both about the season of Christmas and also about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ that I love. I love singing about how that snowman came to life. Amen. What about the birth of Christ? Oh, Holy Night. I love that song as well. Beautiful song. It's probably my favorite Christmas song. Even the weather this time of year brings me joy. Amen. I think I love the cooler weather. I don't really care for the hot weather. And also during this time of year, I get a break from my seasonal allergies. Amen. And so I kind of enjoy that as well. Joy comes when I see the red kettles in front of Walmart. Amen. And you see those folks in the white suit with the red kettles. It just it sort of signals to you that Christmas is here, doesn't it? Oh, man, they're there, and Christmas is here. Toy drives at every establishment, charity, and the giving that comes this time of year brings joy to me. These things remind me of the joy of Christmas. Even joy comes from a sense of social well-being, peace, and happiness that this time of year seems to bring. I like this quote from Norman Vincent Peale. He said, "Christmas waves a magic wand over this world, and behold, everything is softer and more beautiful." You know, there's some truth to that, isn't there? A little bit. It just seems a bit more softer and a little more of an appeal to this time of year. People seem to even be a little bit nicer, amen? And we can all deal with nicer people around here, you know, and people are a little bit nicer. That's a good thing. Even a little bit more giving as well. Praise God. You know, people are a little more giving this time of year. But you know what? As I was reading over the Christmas story, the Holy Spirit sort of guided me to a more perfect understanding of truly what brings joy to this Christmas. The sweet baby in a manger. It's only a tiny part of the actual Christmas story, if you will. Jesus was always much more than just a baby. You understand? He was always much more than that. He came into this world on purpose. With every detail of his birth was arranged, wasn't it? Everything was arranged and planned by God. Now, our text in Galatians chapter 4, many would say, that's not the typical, Christmas verse that you would use for a sermon. But really, it is. It's the perfect verse because it tells us why he came and the reason he came and how we can know salvation. God sent forth his son when the fullness of time had come. God sent forth the Son, made of a woman, made under the law. Oh, what brings great joy in Christmas. I want you to notice verse number 4. I want you to notice the gift of the Son. This brings great joy at Christmas. Verse number 4 in our text. The Bible says, when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman and made under the law. You see, the world was perfectly prepared for God's work. You see, when the time was right politically, when the time was right spiritually, when the time was right, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman. Everything was aligned perfectly. Even morally, things were not the way they were supposed to be. The world was in a moral abyss, if you will, during that time. God sent forth his Son. Oh, born of a woman. This is probably a veiled reference to the virgin birth made of a woman. You see, God is completely in control of all that takes place in this world, and nothing that is done outside of his control. All of it's done in his sovereignty and his will. The eternal Father gave us his Son. You see, before the world was ever created, it was determined that Christ would bleed and die for our sins. Wrap your head around that one. Before the world was even formed, God had a plan. 1 Peter chapter 1, chapter 1, verse 18. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, notice, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in those last times for you. You see, God had a plan before the foundation of this world that he would send his only begotten Son to save you and me from our sins. Oh, the eternal Son. Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God. He's co-equal. He's co-existent with God. And Jesus came to earth as a man. And then he bled and he died for us. Look at Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, please. Excuse me. The Bible says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, notice, who loved me and gave himself for me. That's what he did for us. You see, in our world, we speak of a son, we think of an offspring. Jesus is not the offspring of God. The Lord Jesus Christ is the express image of the Father, who has always existed. And so when we see Jesus, think of him as he's always existed. He's express image. He's just like the Father. And when the fullness of time had come, God the Father sent Jesus to be the Savior of the world. This is the great joy that Luke was talking about, that we read. Notice verse number 5 in our text. The Bible says to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Oh, the gift of redemption. That brings great joy, amen, that we've been redeemed. Redeem means He paid our ransom. He paid your ransom. You see, we were on the auction block as slaves. And God took you off that auction block and He saved you from that. You were a slave on that auction block. You were there. You were being treated roughly. They were looking at your mouth. They opened your mouth and they're checking your teeth and see how good you were as a slave. And Jesus said, you know what? I'll buy her. I'll buy him. I'll take him off the auction block. And now we live not as slaves, but as His children. Isn't that great? He came to purchase us out of the slave market, from our bondage to sin and the elements of the world. And so God connects His redeeming work with His coming to this earth. Oh, never forget that you've been redeemed. Amen. Never forget that you have been, your ransom has been paid for. He bought you back. If you're a Christian here today, never forget that, what He did for you. There was a man who never forgot. His name is John Newton. The man who wrote the most popular and most famous hymn in America, Amazing Grace. He said he'll never forget his redemption. Well, he was an only child whose mother died when he was only 7 years old. He became a sailor and went out to sea at 11 years old. Imagine that. And as he grew up, he became the captain of a slave ship and had an active hand in the horrible degradation and of humanity and inhumanity of the slave trade. He treated those slaves terrible. And when he was 23 years old, on March 10th, 1748, when his ship was getting ready to sink, he was in imminent danger off the coast of Newfoundland. He cried to God for mercy. He said, God, save my life and save my soul. He never forgot how amazing it was that God had received him into his family, as bad as he was. He wrote the words, Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. You see, he understood the redemption and the cost that it took to save his soul, and he never forgot it. To keep it fresh in his memory, he fastened across the wall over the fireplace mantle of his study the words of Deuteronomy 15:15. It says, And thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman or a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee. He said, I never want to forget. I'm putting that verse where every time I study the Bible, I'm going to see it. That I was a slave and God paid for me. Oh, I want you to notice the great joy in verse number 5, this redemption that God gave you and me. It says to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Oh, you've been redeemed out of the law. The world systems, you're no longer under the law. Oh, he had something greater in mind for you and me in coming into the world than merely to deliver us from the bondage of the ceremonial law. He had more in mind than just that. We are sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Galatians chapter 3, verse number 26. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We are heirs according to the promise in verse number 29. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Oh, it would be enough that we were just simply purchased out of the slave market. I'd be like, thank you, Jesus. You saved me from being a slave. You saved me from hell. Wouldn't that be just enough? And maybe think about it. You saved me. But he didn't stop there. That's what's wonderful about our wonderful Father. He didn't stop there. God's work for us doesn't end there. We are then elevated to the place of sons and daughters of God by adoption. That would have been enough, amen? You saved me from hell. Now you're going to make me a part of your family? Woo! That's a bonus. That's a bonus. All those who accept Christ get the privilege of adoption. They get to be adopted. When a child is adopted, they get all the privileges and rights of being a natural child. They get the same love and affection. We get the same rights and privileges of being his child. It's exciting. I want you to notice verse number 6 for our next point. Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. I want you to see the great joy in our relationship with God. See, when you get saved, the Holy Spirit takes up residence within your heart. That's what verse 6 is telling you. God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts. We get the Holy Spirit when you get saved. Now you can literally call God Father. You know, it says Abba Father, by the way. Crying Abba Father. The King James translators had such reverence for the Word of God, they refused to actually translate this word from the original Greek into English. You see, you're reading the Greek word here, Abba. Abba is so enduring to the Lord, they didn't want to change it. They said, we're going to keep it that way. If we were to translate it in English, it means Papa or Daddy. And they felt like that just wasn't good enough, you know. Let's just keep it the way it is. It's good the way it is. Let's keep it Abba. So we have the awesome privilege of calling God Papa. It says cry out to him. You can cry out, Father. Papa, I need you. That's the privilege we get for being a child of God. We can cry out to our Heavenly Father. And he hears us. And we have that relationship. You know, Daddy, Papa, that's an enduring relationship. Yes, we are still to reverence him and to have awe and respect of God, but God has allowed us just to call him Abba, Daddy, Papa. Oh, those who are here today who are believers, you have the privilege to call God Abba. Those who don't know Christ, don't you want that privilege? Don't you want that privilege? This is why he came. This is the great joy of Christmas. All these things I'm mentioning to you here. It's really the benefits of Christianity. Now I want you to notice finally the great joy of our inheritance. Verse number 7 says, wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Oh, we get the great joy of our inheritance. We get the joy of being adopted into the family of God. That's really cool. And if you've been saved for a long time and you forgot about this, man, just this is good. Amen. Remind you of what we have and the privilege of being a child of God in the family of God. I love that song. It's in our hymn book. I think it's page 23 or so. It's called The Family of God. It says, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood. Notice, joint heirs with Jesus as we travel this sod. For I'm a part of the family of God. Verse 2 says, from the door of the orphanage to the house of the king, no longer an outcast, a new song I sing. From rags unto riches, from the weak to the strong, I'm not worthy to be here, but praise God I belong. Amen. You know that chorus? Anyone know that song here? Can you sing the chorus maybe if you know it? I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood. Joy dares with Jesus as we travel this side. From a part of the family of God. Oh, I'm so glad to be part of the family of God. You know, adopted sons are given absolute equal privileges in the family, equal status as heirs. There is no difference. We have some adopted children in here today. They're loved, I'm sure, just like a birth child. And they have, you know, they have the same rights and the same privileges, and they can receive the inheritance one day, just like the other children. We get that. No, we're not Jesus Christ. Let's not get false doctrines in here. We don't have the same power as him, and we are not God, but we do have some privilege. Amen. But there's only one God. Amen. That's Jesus Christ. Of course, there's three in one, but we understand that Jesus Christ is God, and we're never going to compare to that. So let's not talk about that. And so you and I get this inheritance, and we don't even have to wait for someone to pass away in order to get it. Amen. We get the inheritance. In fact, you get it right now. You don't even have to wait to get to heaven. You already have the inheritance. You already have it. Oh, and our Father, he owns it all, by the way. He owns it all. In fact, he's so rich. The Bible tells in John 14:2, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Amen. He's waiting for you. Amen. He's already getting it ready for you. He's got the perfect place for you. If you're a child of God here today, this is what the great joy of Christmas is all about. Oh, now he's in the splendors of heaven, preparing a place for those who have been born again. Oh, he lived here on this earth 33 years, lived a perfect, sinless life. They put him on a cross and he died for you. And for me, oh, but his Father is so rich. And you get that inheritance. There's another song in our songbook. It says, he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. The wealth in every mine. He owns the rivers and the rocks and rills. The sun and stars that shine. Wonderful riches more than tongue can tell. He is my Father, so they're mine as well. Amen. That's what we get. He owns everything. And you say he owns all those cattle on 1,000 hills. That means he owns the earth. And that's what it means. And he's extremely rich. This is the great joy that was announced by the angels the day of the Lord Jesus' birth. Oh, we can picture someone helping them. We're trying to save someone, but not going as far as making them a part of your family. You know what I mean? I mean, that's almost like far-fetched, if, you know. Some guy across the street here, and, you know, I helped him. I saved his life. He's getting ready to hit by a car. And I grabbed him, and I pulled him back, and I saved him. And I said, oh, you're just a nice young man. I think I'm going to adopt you. You know, that probably would take it too far, right? You know, I saved your life. Now, we're happy about that, but I probably wouldn't adopt the child I saved or something like that. But maybe we would. Who knows? They really were that lovely. And God did that. He saved us, and then he said, come on, be a part of my family. What a wonderful privilege that is. So we have access to the same intimacy with God the Father that God the Son, Jesus Christ, has. So let's go back. Great joy. What is it? Well, number one, we have been released from slavery. We're no longer slaves if you trust in Christ as your Savior. And then you are being adopted into the family. You get to be adopted into the family. And then you get to have the Spirit of Jesus in your heart. Oh, this is what Jesus was. This was the announcement of Jesus' birth. And our status as heirs of God are all birthrights given to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. All of that. It's the benefits of being a child of God. Oh, these are the things we should be living in and enjoying every day of our Christian life. Amen. Period of days to be living and enjoying that. That's what Christian joy is all about. You know, what do we have? Why can we be happy-go-lucky in a storm? Well, we know what we got. We've been adopted into the family. We've been saved from slavery. God is taking care of us. We get the wonderful inheritance of the Father who owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. Amen. And so we have that. That's what can give us the joy of our salvation. But in order to enjoy this joy we're talking about, you got to be born again. You got to be born again. If you're here today and you're not born again, my goodness, we would love for you to trust Christ as your personal Savior and get saved. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter number 8, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. You got to have the Spirit of the Holy Spirit living in you to be claimed by the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, does the Holy Spirit live in you? Only you can answer that question. See, Christmas is not about viewing or the picture of the little baby in the manger, singing Christmas hymns and celebrating the birth of a baby. That's not really what it's about. It's about the eternal Father, the eternal Son, and the eternal Holy Spirit bringing about in us this miraculous transformation that can happen in our hearts. It's called salvation. That's what it's all about. God wants the Holy Spirit to come and live in you so that Christ can be formed in you. Amen. That's what He wants. Please, if you're here today and you don't know Christ, we implore you to accept Him as your Savior. Why do we do all these things? Why do we make it pretty in here and we practice songs and we prepare for the service and we give out over a thousand flyers to people? It's because we want people to come and get saved, hear the gospel. If you're here today, let the Holy Spirit prick your heart and yield to that. Yield to that. Pastor Clarence Sexton said this, let Christ be formed in you. That is the only way your little flicker of life can connect to eternity. Because that's all it is. This life, 70 years, maybe, you know, with reason of strength, God gives us more. And so, it's really a little flicker compared to all eternity. And so you want to connect the two. You want to connect your life to eternity. And the only way to do that is to accept Christ as your Savior. In the fullness of time, God sent His Son, born of a virgin, to save us from our sins. Oh, we need to realize that and recognize that here today. Could you bow your head and close your eyes? Just stay in your seat there for just a moment. Nobody looking around. I just want to ask you a couple of questions. If you're here today, you say, I know the Savior. I've been born again. I've trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Would you simply lift up your hand? I'm saved. I've trusted Christ. I see those hands. Thank you for being honest. Well, maybe you were not able to raise your hand today. And the Lord is dealing with you about salvation. You see, the only way this works is we must recognize our condition that we are sinners. That you need a Savior. That's the only way you can be saved. You've got to be saved from something. You're being saved from the penalty of your sin. The penalty of your sin is you would spend all eternity in the lake of fire. That is what God created for the demons and His angels. And now we go there when we don't trust Christ as our Savior. He's saving you from that. He said, also, I'm not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Come to the point where you understand that you're a sinner and that you're in need of a Savior. If that's you here today, no one else looking around, just me. I'm not sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven. Can someone show me from the Scriptures how to be saved? If that's you here today, simply lift up your hand. I'm not sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven. No one else looking around, just me. I'm not sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven. Can you pray for me, Pastor? Anyone like that? Amen. Well, let's stand together as the piano plays. This is an invitation time. Whatever God spoke to you about in your heart, you're welcome to come down to the old-fashioned altar. Use the altar and pray and ask God's help in your life. What's your need here this morning? If you need salvation, you need to talk about it. Maybe you were a little bit afraid to talk, raise your hand. You can come down and tell me, and we will get that situated for you.